you, Father. Hallelujah. Father God, we just praise you and we magnify your name. We thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing in our midst today. Father God, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight, and we thank you have a plan and a purpose for them. And Father God, we thank you that they will fulfill that plan and that purpose. We thank you right now as we go to study your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father God, we just thank you to help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that we'll take that word and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and go out and touch the hearts and lives of men and women who are out there who need help, that need to hear this gospel. Father, we thank you for revival to this generation. We thank you for revival to this nation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. Father, we thank you that we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, your might, and your ability, that you be lifted up. We thank you tonight as we go to minister your word. We thank you they won't see me ministering, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that teaches us and guides us and shows us the way and gives us utterance to speak with all boldness the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Tonight, we thank you for the anointing of God that's here, that saturates all of us, that anointing that leads us and guides us. And we just thank you for everything that you're doing. But Father God, we thank you also that tonight, as mom and dad are there in Nebraska or wherever they are, the crusade team, Omaha, Nebraska, we thank you, Father, right now for the anointing being there. We thank you for healings taking place. We thank you for lives being changed. And we thank you, Father, for everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Sometimes it's hard to remember where everybody's at sometimes. I have a hard enough time to remember my own schedule, much less my parents. Amen. And I said Nebraska, but I'm like, well, wait, maybe that's not right. So, all right. Well, tonight, it's normal that a lot of ministers always have catchy sermon titles or whatever. I don't really always have that. I do have a few of them, actually. The first service that I ever preached as an associate pastor here at Rhema was called Nothing. That was my title. I don't really have that. But tonight I do have a title, and it's called The Same Sermon. The Same Sermon. Now, I'm not going to preach Nothing. I'm going to preach a different sermon than that one. I'm going to preach the same sermon. But the funny part about it, the same sermon is not a sermon I've really preached before, so I don't know why you call it the same sermon. But I'm actually not talking about the same sermon. Tonight, I'm talking about the same Jesus. And many of you probably know where I'm going, Hebrews 13:8, a scripture that most of us can quote, but most of us don't live. It's the truth, because we don't act like things are the same. Hebrews 13:8 says this. It says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means we have the same Jesus that always was, is the same Jesus that always will be. The same Jesus that's right here today is the same Jesus that was in the gospel time, walking the streets there and giving the commands and saying the things, the same Jesus. A few verses before that, in Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. So Jesus himself said he'll never leave us or forsake us. So he's always the same, and he's always with us. Now, I was going back in my own memory, about how I picture Jesus. And, because when we see the word yesterday, we're not talking about actually yesterday. All right. We're talking about, right here, we're talking about yesterday, meaning in Bible times, the things have been written about Jesus as, the same as it was written about him. So I started going back to, we're visual people. Many of us are visual people. We're used to seeing things. And so I went back to my children's Bible. Not literally, because I didn't go find it. But any of you have a children's Bible that used to have pictures and stuff, whenever you were a kid? And the first time that I ever remember Jesus actually appearing, talking about Jesus, was actually in the Old Testament. It was the fourth man in the fire. Remember that? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They wouldn't bow to the idol that King Nebuchadnezzar had put up of himself. I mean, think about this. Here's a king. You put a statue of gold 90 feet high, 9 feet wide of yourself. What is that? Narcissistic, I guess they call it. And say, hey, we're going to play music. And we're going to bow down before my golden statue. And these guys decided not to bow down. So they said, well, we're going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't bow down. And they didn't bow down. And, of course, Russ Taff has a great song about that. Not going to bow. And then one of the stupidest things I've seen in the Bible, you know, a lot of times kings and presidents and rulers don't make smart moves sometimes whenever they're mad. And they decided to turn up the heat 7 times hotter than before because I guess the normal fire would take too long to burn the people up. So let's make it hotter so they burn you up faster. And we see that some of the king's guards were actually killed throwing these 3 guys into the fiery furnace. Remember that? And then the king looked up and said, didn't we throw 3 guys in the fire who were all bound up? But there's 4 people there and they're walking around. And the 4th one looks like the Son of God. Now it's interesting how a king who's narcissistic knows that guy's the Son of God. How do you know that? I guess there's something outstanding about him even in the middle of the fire. But the fact of the matter is, who else is going to be in the fire with you? The person that will never leave you nor forsake you. Now we hear all that, and sometimes we visualize that. Sometimes we see paintings or we see pictures or whatever, and all we do is clap. There were 4 people in the fire. Nobody got burned. The king got a lesson. Well, a few people did get burned. That was the king's guards, but I guess they don't matter in the story. But the fact of the matter is that there's more than a clap. What matters is that Jesus Christ is right there with you in the middle of your worst fire when it's 7 times hotter than you ever thought it might ever be. When everybody else is being devoured around about you because they can't take the heat. They're trying to get out of the kitchen, but they can't take the heat. They're being devoured. Everything's falling apart. And Jesus said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I'm right there with you. I'm there to help you. I'm there to lift your hand up. I'm there to help you through it. Because the same fire that's today was the same fire that was yesterday. But see, we don't think about yesterday's fire when we're going through today's fire. Because even if we've gone through our own situations, we don't think about yesterday because we're too busy and thinking about what's happening now. But what's happening now, it doesn't matter what's happening now. If we know our past, we know our future. But you have to know your God. Jesus is the same. And that's the thing about it is, do we really serve the same God or do we serve a different God? Because I think sometimes whenever we go through our situations in life, we begin to pray about things, but really what we're doing, we're looking for Jesus to do something different. But all we need is the same Jesus. We don't need anything different. Now, really, obviously, I'm assuming the same Jesus there was with Daniel Lion's Den, but we didn't see that in the picture Bible. In the picture Bible, it comes back to the New Testament, to the Gospels, and we see things like, not having any food, and Jesus taking a couple of fish and some loaves of bread and feeding 5,000 people. It's pretty impossible, right? So think about this. Whenever you don't have enough food or enough money or enough situation, you know what? Jesus provides more than enough. Now, he provided more than enough for everybody to partake and fill up and still have leftovers. And I understand that was a situation where there was food, but it could be money. It could be whatever you need. See, the same Jesus provides more than enough, but we have to understand, and the sad part about it is most of us would actually be okay with almost enough. Do you realize majority of us would be okay if we had 80% of our needs met? Maybe 75%, probably some of them, probably 50%. Some of you guys would be thrilled. But he wants to provide, not only enough, but more than enough, you'll have leftovers. That's part of the press down, shaking around, running over. But see, that's what yesterday's Jesus wants to provide. But you have to let today's Jesus be yesterday's Jesus. And we have to just think about all the things that went on in the gospel with Jesus. I mean, all the things that he did. All the things that he said. All the things, you know, he told the storm to stop. And it did. Now, I always point out, it didn't really matter whether he told the storm to stop because he was right there in the boat. So the fact of the matter is, he's with us. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. He's in our boat. He's in our storm. But because, you know, we talk about faith, we talk about, you know, we have what we don't see, but I think we need to understand we don't see Jesus physically. You know, I'm pointing to a picture Bible, but you don't, and because you don't see Jesus physically, you forget he's there. And you forget he's this, not just is he there with you, what he's capable of and what he's done for you already in the past, and what he said, that whatever happened in the past, I'm here with that same power for the future. Amen. You know, and I don't believe in living in the past. You know, in fact, I found out that most of the time when you hear people talking about the good old days, they were just old, but they weren't good. You know, you hear people, you know, grandpa's talking about, well, remember the good old days when, you know, when a candy bar was only 5 cents, but I heard someone say, yeah, but you still couldn't afford one. Did it matter it was only 5 cents? Now, I've always wanted to know, you know, back in those good old days, you know, the most expensive stuff had to be bubble gum. You know, because I don't know how much bubble gum, you know, is now. You used to get a piece for 1 cent and then 2 cents and 3 cents, and maybe it's 5 cents now. But, you know, because we don't have fractions of cents, I mean, they couldn't have gone lower than one unless they're giving away free bubble gum to come to the candy store. So it'd be the most expensive thing. In fact, you know, also, too, think about whenever they went from 1 cent to 2 cents. I mean, they doubled their price. I mean, so many of you don't think about that. So, you know, because I don't know how many times whenever I would buy candy, we used to go to the store and buy candy, then whatever, how many cents we had left over, we would buy gum with it. So it was like, but anyway, you know, just because days are old doesn't mean they're good. You know, but the thing about it is that Jesus, it's always good when Jesus is there. It's our perspective in life. And just because we can't see him physically doesn't mean he's not there. See, we have to know he's there. And we have to know he's there when things are not going good. Because it's you know, I understand a lot of you are getting older. Maybe you're having some trouble with your memory and trouble with knowing who's around. And, you know, but Jesus is there, whether you know him, whether you recognize him or not. You know, and some of you, maybe you're having spiritual memory lapse. You're not seeing correctly with your spiritual eyes. And that's the thing, is what we, you know, what we do as Christians is the same thing the disciples did that Jesus would make fun of. You know, we would be the ones looking at the waves and the storms and things, and we would forget that Jesus is in our boat with us. We would forget that he's right there helping us. We would forget the power he possesses. You know, and one of the scriptures I read all the time where Jesus said, you know, he said that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might live life and have it more abundantly. Amen. Now, he has came that we might live life and have it more abundantly, but he also said he'll never leave us nor forsake us, so he's right there with us, helping us to live that abundant life. But he also says that we have not because we ask not, that whatever we ask in his name, that he's going to do it for us. Right. You know, call upon my name. You know, but we forget about the same Jesus. We think that we need a different Jesus because we're having a different circumstance. I've heard people say, well, you don't understand, I'm going through this. Oh, yeah? I mean, I think, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they had a pretty bad situation. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how bad your situation, you know, maybe your wife got mad at you today and your kids are mad at you and everything else, but I don't think you really compare, you know, to their situation. But they got through their situation, so you can get through yours. You know, a lot of times we look for testimonies, but maybe you should use testimonies that we already have. You know, and I think that's a testimony we can all use. Jesus was with them. You know, and in that situation, he kind of appeared from nowhere. You know, I mean, you know, this, we're talking about Old Testament here. I mean, we already have the promise. We already know he's with us. But he disappeared anyway, out of nowhere. And you know, I mean, they already told Nebuchadnezzar, it doesn't even matter if we're going to die, we're still not going to bow. I think that's how it got seven times hotter. I think it made him mad that they were going to, you know, even if they died anyway, they still weren't going to bow. You know, but we cry over the weirdest things sometimes because we forget that we have the same Jesus. We forget our Jesus is the same as the Jesus of the Old Testament, the New Testament. Now, of course, we have another verse that we use to wake up sometimes over in Romans. Romans 8:11. Many of you have read the verse. It says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So it's talking about the same spirit that raised Jesus Christ up from the dead dwells in us. He can wake us up from our sleep is basically what the way people translate it. You know, and I get it. You're a heavy sleeper and you get tired or something, you know, but I think the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead can do a whole lot more than wake you up. But, you know, I have found that most Christians only quote this scripture when they're tired. Well, thank God the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is going to wake up my body. But they don't realize that the same spirit that raised up Christ from the dead can do a whole lot more than wake up your body. It can heal your body. It can set you free. I mean, we're talking about the same spirit that was with Jesus. The same spirit, and that's why we, you know, that we can see a situation and we can change it with our own mouth. Because we have that same spirit. You know, and you know, we think about it, it says that by his stripes we were healed, so we've already been healed yesterday. And you don't have to wait till tomorrow to get yesterday's blessings. And that's the deal. We're waiting to see something before we have it, when faith is having something before it sees it. Amen. And the reason you're not seeing it is because you don't see Jesus. Now, you know Jesus. We all know the story. We know we just had Easter, so you got the Easter story down. And Christmas was a couple of months before that, so you got the Christmas story down. But that's the thing, is most people see Jesus either in a manger or on a cross. Maybe if I start going to church more than Easter and Christmas, maybe it might help, but you know. But really, most of the world sees Jesus in a manger or on a cross. Whether you want to pray the baby Jesus or the cross Jesus or whatever. But most of the time you see a picture of Jesus, that's where he's at. But you know what? Jesus is no longer in a manger. And he knows he's no longer on a cross. Now, but he wasn't, but he was in both those situations. But now that Jesus or his spirit is with you, amen. That where you walk, Jesus walks. You know, and he even said, the things that I did and greater things shall you do because they go to the Father. You know, but we don't realize what we possess because we don't realize, you know, we don't see Jesus. Like we should. And we always talk about having the mind of Christ. We always talked about knowing God, about knowing him. But the thing about it is, just know he's with you. Yeah. Yeah. One thing about knowing him is knowing he's with you every step of the way. Yeah. Through every problem you have. Yes. Through your worst fears. Through your worst situations. Yeah. And the only reason you're fearing is because you don't realize he's with you. You know, because if you walked into a situation where maybe there were some people that weren't the best in the world and you were outnumbered, you know, you might have fear. But whenever you know the numbers are on your side, there is no fear. The thing is, you don't see the person who's on your side. Yeah. Remember, if God be for us, who cares who's against us? I know the Bible says, but it doesn't matter who's against you. The main thing is God's for you. But you don't see it because you forget about the same Jesus. You're looking for a different one. You know, you're in prayer. Lord, bring somebody by my path. Get somebody here. No, you have the same Jesus that's enough. In fact, you're saying Jesus is more than enough. But you're looking for somebody new. You're looking for something new. And, you know, I just go back to the first time I remember talking about Jesus in my picture Bible in the fiery furnace. And that's enough for me. Now, the thing about it is, you need to remember the fiery furnace when you're going through your own fiery furnace. You need to remember what happened in the past so you know the future will be the same. And this whole thing came out yesterday. We had the privilege of meeting with Reinhard Bonnke in Oklahoma City about his upcoming crusade he's going to do in August, August 20th and 21st in Oklahoma City. And, you know, the Lord has given him a commission. He had a commission to go out and get Africa saved, but the Lord's kind of changed his commission to go out and get America saved. All right. And people look at him and he said, I know pastors always tell me all the time, said, but Brother Bonnke, this is America. This is not Africa. I mean, you know, it doesn't work the same way. And so he said, so that's like saying that God is omniscient, omnipotent in Africa, but he's impotent in America. And that got me thinking about the same Jesus. I mean, that's how this whole thing came about. So we're saying that just because Jesus can do something one place, you know, that he can't do it there. But, well, you know, it's a different situation. It's not a different situation. It's the same Jesus. Amen. See, we're trying to make our situation seem different, but it's not about the situation. It's about the same Jesus, the same God. And so I don't care if you've never been, and I've heard people say, well, I've never been in this kind of jam or this kind of situation. Doesn't matter. You have the same Jesus that can get somebody else out of their situation, can get someone else out of yours. I mean, and that's one reason that testimonies are so important too, that when we're facing a thing that we can, you know, find someone who's had a testimony, how they were healed of that. And it gives us hope knowing that we can be healed of the same thing. But you know what? You don't have to have a testimony to get healed. I don't care if you're the first person to ever had the disease. It doesn't matter. See, that's another thing. Sometimes when people can't find any testimonies, they have no hope. And they're thinking, well, I don't know anybody else that ever got healed of this. So there has to be someone to be the first one anyway. Somebody has to be the first. And you know, the thing is we get caught up on our situations, caught up on what, whether it be a physical situation, financials, you know, emotional or whatever it might be. But we need to get more caught up on our Jesus.
Yes.
But we have to know he's with us through our troubles, through our tribulations, through our sicknesses, through the good times, through the bad times. You know, that's something else. He's there with you in the good times. You know, when you get married, the birth of your kids, and you know, all those times that when you're happy, you know, when you turn 16, turn 21, even when you turn 50, 75, 100, whatever, you know, whatever your birthday might be, you know, all your anniversaries. I mean, Jesus is there in the good times and the bad times. You know, he's not going to, he said he'll never leave you. So he's there, you know, and it's interesting because when things are going good, we're more apt to thank God for the good things. We're more apt to, you know, thank God for everything provided. But when things start going bad, a lot of times we forget how good our God is and start getting mad at God. Well, why haven't you done this? Well, why am I still going through that? But I believe today, as I begin to look and study, one reason I think we're going through stuff is because we're not recognizing the same Jesus. Because his power has not changed. It's still the same power that was there on the cross. It's still the same power that raised him from the dead. It's still the same power that when he took the stripes on his back. There is no difference in power. The power plant never changed. But how you recognize and how you plug in and how you see the power plant has, because you're not seeing him with you and helping you. And I believe if we start seeing things differently, you know, and I know I think one of the wrong things we've done in life, and I never thought, this is the first time I ever thought about this, it was last 2 days, is that I think a lot of times that when we think about not seeing stuff, we're thinking about not seeing our healing, we're thinking about not seeing our financial blessing, but I'm worried about you not seeing Jesus. And I believe because we're not able to see Jesus, then we're not able to see these other things because we're not even recognizing the person that belongs with us. The one that never leaves us forsaken, the one that's always for us. And so because our lack of recognition about our Jesus and his power and his ability and his authority through us, because, you know, we've been given all authority through the name of Jesus. Do you realize all our power rests in his name, in his commands? I mean, you know, here our ministry, that's what we preach Mark 11, 22, 23, 24. And those all come from what Jesus told us. You know, we're the whosoever people. What we can do. But if we don't recognize who he is, we don't recognize his power and his authority, we're not going to get our needs met. But see, we're too busy looking at a possession or looking at what we want, what we desire. When we begin to look to Jesus, things change. And I believe the Bible is real clear on that. Talk about looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher. You know, and I think we need to be more looking to Jesus and what, not just what he is providing, but what he's already provided. If I know the past, if I know what he's done for the three Hebrew children, what he's done from all these people through history, all the folks that were healed, and maybe they brought people to Jesus, you know, that were, you know, demon possessed, and, you know, he went to the house of the person that they said, well, she's dead. No, she's just sleeping. And he was able to do all kinds of things. But it's the same Jesus. It's the same Jesus. The same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Doesn't matter what situation, what circumstance, where, you know, I don't care, the worst thing could ever happen to you, doesn't matter. The same Jesus is able to handle your situation. Because how many times have we got situations where we're like, man, I can't handle anymore. I can't do it. And so the answer to that is quit doing it. Because if you're doing it, that means you're not casting your burdens on him. If you're doing it, you're not letting him do it. You know, the scripture, my yoke is easy, my burden's light, it's not operating in your life. Casting all your cares upon him means, so if you're in a situation where you have so much cares that you can't do it, then you're doing it wrong. Now, I'm not trying to pick on it because we've all been there, we've all done it. Why don't we get that situation? It goes back to John 10:10. The thief is, you know, stupid. Or he causes us to be stupid. And I'm just being real. That's really what it comes down to. It's not that we forget. It's not that we don't know the word. It's that, you know, you're getting bombarded with so much. And, you know, we see it right now in the presidential election. You realize that there's so many reporters. I mean, and it's not just one candidate, it's all the candidates. They want to make them say stuff, and they'll bombard them like 14 times with the same question to try to get them mad, to try to get them to say something so they can go, you know, so everyone can go, you know, all crazy about it. You know, and I believe, you know, that's kind of what the devil does. You know, I mean, you know, one or two times, maybe you're not going to fall for his trap and you're just kind of, oh, no big deal, you know. But after a while, sometimes we put our guard down. Or we start to question, well, you know, man, things really haven't gotten any better, have they? Man, it hurts worse than it used to. You know, and it's just the devil. But if we, you know, we have to go back. You know, the Bible says we're not moved by what we feel. We're not moved by what we see. We have to know what we believe. But you have to believe something before you get to that situation. And that's why it's really important to understand and see these things in the Bible. And I know, because we're visual people, sometimes it's really hard for us because we don't see Jesus. And the only time we do, he's on the cross or in the manger. And you probably never thought about it till now. I mean, there are a few times there are pictures of him and the disciples. I guess, you know, we see the Last Supper, but he's getting ready to go to the cross. Plus, all part of the Christmas, all part of the Easter story. You know, you have to have that. You know, we don't really see Jesus a lot of times. And so it's hard for us sometimes. But we don't have to see Jesus to know he exists. Amen. You know, and sometimes we think about that, but when you accept him as your Lord and Savior, did you see him then? Now, many people say, well, I felt him. But we're not moved by what we feel either. Because if I pinch you on the arm, you're going to feel it too. I mean, doesn't mean it's a blessing. You might consider it a blessing. My grandfather used to pinch people on the arm all the time, and some people thought it was a blessing. I always thought it hurt. But, you know, some people thought it was great that Brother Hagin actually touched him. I don't know. It was, you know, so. But I just think we need to remember the same Jesus. The same Jesus in Africa is also here in America. Amen. The same Jesus that healed somebody else is the same Jesus that heals you. Amen. The same Jesus that helped somebody else in their situation is the same Jesus that you have with you at all times. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with you from the beginning to the end. You know, you'll never face a day, a moment, an hour where Jesus is not right there with you. And we have the word. The word says that we can call upon his name. He's going to do it for us. It actually says whatever we want. You realize it doesn't say what he wants. It says whatever you want. Ask and it will be done. Now, how hard is that? It's not hard. The problem is we ask and it doesn't get done immediately and we get mad. But this is not a fast food, you know, shop or whatever, you know, where we pop in and say, well, okay, Jesus, I want a Whopper. I don't want pickles. You know, let me have mustard instead of mayonnaise, you know, but ketchup and, you know, whatever. And, you know, this is a new generation, so throw some cauliflower on there too, you know, so I can be a kind of a veggie burger. Make sure it's meat, though, double meat, triple cheese. You know, and I want it now. And if it's not here now, then you're not really Jesus. Now, we would never say that, but sometimes we act like that. You realize that we act like it, you know, well, because it's not happening now, then it must not be God. I always wonder about the scripture that says, having done everything, we stand. You know, there's nothing else besides stand. It doesn't say anything else. It says, having done all to stand, we stand. That means you stand until you get it. Amen. That means that's the end. I'm standing. And I think that goes back to the song, Standing on the Promises of God. Amen. So when things are not happening and it doesn't seem like things are going to happen, what do you say? I'm just standing. What are you standing on? I'm standing on the promises. I'm standing on the word. Now you stand till you get it. It doesn't say you stand and you know then you retreat, or you forget about it, or you're just not going to get it. It says stand. So you do everything you can, and you stand until it comes, and you know it's on the way because you've been promised that. Because we're talking about the same Jesus, not a different Jesus. I don't care it might not be the same circumstances. Maybe you've never been in this situation before. But the same Jesus that got you through anything else you went through, got everybody else through all their trouble, is still the same Jesus that's right there with you, leading you and guiding you, helping you through every situation, every circumstances. And so I want you to remember when everything seems it's going wrong. I don't know, I'm the kind of guy like I talk to you when things are bad. When everything's going wrong, when it seems that, man, and you're trying to figure out what you're going to do, first of all, quit figuring out what you're going to do and let God. Yes. But I want you to remember the first time that you remember seeing Jesus in your picture Bible in the middle of the fiery furnace, because, I mean, I think you could probably relate. And remember, he's right there with you. Start to picture him in your mind. Standing there with you. In the middle when it seems that nothing's going to go right. And you need help. Picture the fourth man in the fire. Standing with you. Helping you. So not only did he help them, you understand they went in bound up, but whenever they looked in, they weren't even bound. Even before they came out of the fire, Jesus was already at work. And that's the thing, we don't realize when we're in the middle of the fire, Jesus is still at work. See, we're trying to get out of the fire because it's burning, it hurts. But he's right there with us in the middle of the fire, protecting us. Because, you know, it said that, you know, those other guys, when the fire hit them, they were consumed, but the three Hebrew children, they kept walking around. They were walking around in the middle of the fire. Well, they shouldn't have been walking around because that's impossible. That's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. No matter what you're going through, I want you to remember you have the same Jesus. He's always the same. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He's there with you. All we have to do is call upon him. Remember the words. 8 o'clock, I'm done. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you that everyone here remembers to tell Dad that Craig got done. 8 o'clock. Power, power. Father, we do thank you for each and every person that's here tonight and people that are watching this online or people that will hear this tape or DVD. Father God, we just thank you right now for them. We thank you for their life. We thank you for what you've done for them. And we thank you, Father, right now that we'll all remember when we're going through the worst times, we'll remember that we have the same Jesus. The same Jesus that will never leave us nor forsake us. The same Jesus is right there with us. Will be with us in our situations to take care of our troubles. And we just thank you, Father, for it right now. We just thank you to help us to know that we can rely on him and everything will be okay. Father, we just pray a special blessing over each and every person that's here. And we just thank you, Father, for just touching their life. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.